This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Dude, check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and welcome to the Draft Prospect Review Podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's March 12th right here at Gillette Stadium on Wednesday. We have Andy Hart, Tom Casale, and Eric Scalfino giving you all the lowdown on the receivers. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Lori, thank you. And yes, the receiver position, obviously not a top need with the Patriots, thanks in large part to the re-signing of Randy Moss, the Wes Welker depth, probably the hopes of Chad Jackson that he can come together and be a contributor. But an interesting crop of receivers in the draft. Our good friends over at NFLDraftScout.com projecting possibly six wide receivers could go in the first round or could get first round grades. Upwards of three dozen could be selected on the 2 days of draft weekend, somewhere in the range 36 to 40. But it's an interesting crop because I don't think there's a clear-cut top prospect, which sort of mirrors the rest of the draft in many ways. Tom and I, we started discussing, and I even have a bet with one of our listeners on Limus Swede is a guy I fell in love with on tape out of Texas. I think he's the total package. He's big-bodied, 6'4", 212, decent combine, decent runner, and impressive playmaker on tape. So he's my pick for top prospect. But Tom Casale, talk about the top prospects.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I have Swede number one. See him kind of as a Michael Irvin, where he doesn't have blazing speed, but he has good enough speed to get down the field and make plays big. The only thing he's going to have to do is work on his route running, because at Texas, he played with a terrible quarterback. Like I said, Colt McCoy is just a terrible football player, and they sent him on a lot of fly patterns, but he's big enough to go over the middle, so I would agree with you on that. DeSean Jackson's a guy. I don't think he's going to come in and be a one receiver. He's going to be a return guy. He's going to be a guy you can put in the slot, that type of thing. They're talking like, 15, that area for him, too high. I know he's a dynamic playmaker, but I don't ever see him as a dominant receiver. And then you're looking at Malcolm Kelly at Oklahoma. You put him in the mix as a first-round guy. A little overrated in my eyes. I think he's a good player, but I wouldn't be jumping all over him in the first round.
Where would you put DeSean Jackson as compared to a guy who was a controversial wide receiver pick last year, Ted Ginn Jr.?
I think he's a better receiver than Ginn. He had a lot more production in college, but
he's Eric's size.
Yeah, it's
barely.
It's pretty close, and I think that's an interesting point you bring up, Andy, because I bet you that'll hurt him on draft day now because Ginn went so high. And those guys, you got to be worried because, like you said, they're so small, and now we saw Ginn in the NFL, and he's not as fast as we thought he was in college. I mean, I thought he's the fastest guy I ever saw. Coming to the NFL, he can't outrun anybody. And if those guys don't have NFL-caliber speed on the field, they can't do anything because as soon as you touch Ginn, he goes down. Mm-hmm. So if DeSean Jackson's speed doesn't translate well to the pro game, he's going to be nothing.
Eric, a guy that might be interesting to Patriots fans on some level, looks like and is the brother of a former Patriot, Andre Caldwell, had a good combine. I think he ran third fastest receiver time, or fourth, 4.37, which we all know, I think, are suspect receiver. All the times combine were a little suspect. But he's a riser, according to NFL Draft Scout. Could crack that late first round, possibly. I know he was confident the combine, said,
sure was,
I'm better than Andre. Riche.
What
are your thoughts? Would you touch another Gator?
I'm not a big fan of the Gator receivers in general, and after watching the younger Caldwell on tape, I'm even less
impressed.
Goes by
Bubba.
Yeah, right. That's right. And Riche gave him that nickname. Apparently,
that nickname's already taken here.
The interesting thing to note 30th. About him, though, coming off that broken leg and running that time, it's kind of impressive. But what I've seen of him is I think his hands are kind of suspect, honestly. I don't see him.
He wasn't a dominant receiver
in
Florida.
He made a lot. From what I saw, he ran a lot of reverses. They did a lot of moving him around, putting him in the backfield, taking direct snaps, doing that kind of thing. I want to see the guy run routes and catch the ball.
But maybe that's the formula. All these other guys that were good, put up big numbers like Chad Jackson at Florida, they haven't done anything in the NFL. Maybe you need to find the guy who didn't do all that much in Florida and he'll be good in the league.
We should mention that he is strictly an Urban Meyer guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of the receivers that failed were Spurrier type guys.
Right.
So we should mention that he's kind of a different breed, and we'll see how that translates. But I agree. He seemed more of a gimmick guy.
Good athlete.
Very good athlete. But when you're talking about the end of the first round, it seems a little high to me.
And a lot of, Eric, one of the stories at the Combine was sort of how maybe the slot position is getting a little bit more respect, and a lot of the guys pointed to Wes Welker and what he's done for the position and the huge numbers he put up in this offense. Tom, maybe who are some of the guys you like in that role? I think the guy at Louisville is one of your guys.
Yeah, Harry Douglas to me is the best slot receiver in this draft. He was phenomenal for Louisville. Doesn't have great speed. Gets open, catches the football. Was really their only weapon. Uredia, the other receiver that's in the draft, is terrible. He can't catch. But I think Douglas, if he goes to a team like a Dallas or a New England where you can put him in the slot, like to kind of replace Welker a little bit, move him around some, I think he would be good. Another guy I like in the slot, and strictly the slot, is Early Doucette. I know you didn't like him, Andy, but here's the thing. When he was there with Bo and Davis, Buster Davis, he was very effective in that slot role. Then they moved him outside, and he wasn't nearly as effective. But again, you're talking about draft value because he's got pretty high grade, and I don't really want to take a slot guy at the end of the first round.
If I can get a player like that in the mid-rounds, I'd be sure to jump on him. But, I mean, a lot of places think he's a first-round pick or late first, early second-round pick. And I just think that's a little too high for him. I don't think he's an elite athlete or a playmaker.
No.
I think he's a good receiver.
Right, exactly. And like you've said to me off the air, and I agree with you, this is a draft where the middle receivers might be better than the top guys. You got an Earl Bennett from Vanderbilt who put up great numbers.
Just going to bring him up. I fell in love with him on tape. Obviously, the tape is the first time I saw Earl Bennett because I don't watch a lot of college football, and even if I did, I don't think I'd watch a lot of Vanderbilt.
Well, on tape, you saw what I saw when I watched Vanderbilt, a terrible quarterback throwing him the football. He had to make a lot of tough catches.
And he, not only that, but after the catch, I really liked what he did with the ball in his hands. He seemed, you know, slippery, I wrote down. He breaks three of those arm tackles. Had a lot of run after catch, and his size is okay. 6'1", 205 is decent.
Yeah, and you're talking about a third, fourth.
Yeah,
you know,
because let's be honest, they're probably going to draft a receiver somewhere in those middle rounds. It might have to be a guy who, like a Kelly Washington, does other things. Whether it's a returner, maybe they go after one of these guys that has some return ability. Or if it's a guy that can play special teams, like Keller, be a gunner and do some different things, maybe a bigger-bodied guy, they're likely to draft in early second day, a receiver. So some of these mid-round guys we're talking about, Tom, are guys that could be possibilities for Patriots.
Yeah, and guys like Bennett and Douglas are guys Bill likes because they catch the ball, they're reliable. One guy I know you like, Eric, who has all the physical skills but can struggle catching the ball is Bowman from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, Darius Bowman. Yeah, from what I saw on tape, he has kind of like that T.O.
Anquan
sort of
Bolden.
Physique, Anquan Bolden kind of physique. He's big. He looks like a man among boys out in college. And I like what I saw. He had good yards after the catch. He wasn't afraid to go over the middle, especially with that size. Like you said, a little bit suspect on whether he can hold on to the ball.
And that came from the Senior Bowl, but I should add, I should say this, and I was telling Andy this. Before I look at people's draft projections, I'll watch a player and I'll think to myself where I think he'll be drafted. Watching Bowman play in games, I thought he was a late first-round draft pick. Because, same thing, terrible quarterback play. They would just throw the ball up to him. I never really saw him drop passes in a game. He knows how to go up, take the ball away. He's big,
he's
physical.
Yeah.
So, to me, he was a prospect good enough to be a first-round guy. Now you're talking third, fourth round. That might have a lot of upside for teams.
Yeah, it could be a steal, especially like Andy said. If the Patriots are looking for high second-day value, he might be a guy who could be there.
The guy I fell in love with, Jerome Simpson, Coastal Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Had a decent
combine. A lot of
combine.
Buzz about him.
Top 10 guy, not only in the 40, but I think he...
Freakish skill.
The second best vertical at the combine among receivers. His tape is very impressive. Puts that vertical to use on one crossing pattern where he hurdles a guy. They show it a couple times. He seems like one of those natural playmakers where he's always looking to do something spectacular and take it to the house every time he touches the ball. So he's a guy just done. Obviously, the level of competition is a little lower. But if you're looking and you can get a guy in that second day early somewhere there who can maybe just be a freakish playmaker that come in and surprises people, I'd look at a guy like that. On the other end of that spectrum, Tom, Kansas State's Jordy Nelson is a guy that I immediately fell out of love with. And not only did I fall out of love with him, but they showed a lot of tape of him matched up with Aqib Talib. And when he beat him, it made me fall out of love with Aqib Talib because I'm watching this chump beat a guy that's supposed to be top 10 type corner.
Yeah, that's a guy that neither of us like, and I got to be honest with you, I don't know if I'd draft him in the first day, Talib, I'm talking about.
I
will get to him
in
corners.
He can't play.
But, when you're getting, that's the game I told you I saw. That was on a Fox Sports Net, Kansas State, and I saw Jordy Nelson have that big day against him, and that was the first red flag I had with Talib because Jordy Nelson is an average football player. He should never be getting open against an elite corner like that, but I agree with you. I don't have much love for him. Or a guy who's kind of higher up, James Hardy from Indiana, not physical, doesn't get off the line. That's not. We didn't see a lot of that on tape, but when they used to, Indiana would play a team and they were getting beat by a good team, they would always show him at the line having trouble, and they would always comment that he has trouble getting off the line, he's not very physical. To me, that's the first thing you got to do in the NFL. As Bill says, get open, catch the ball. You can't get to catch the ball if you can't get open.
And it's surprising about Hardy because he's 6'6".
Yeah,
believe
he's not
big
physical.
Enough. He just needs to be more aggressive out there and do that. If he can do and that, he was could
on,
be a star.
He was on the same field with Bowman during the bowl game because they played each other. If you were comparing that game, who the better receiver was, they're not even in the same world.
Bowman.
I mean, it's just one game, but sure. I'm just saying that just goes to show how it can change the draft process because now Hardy is a much better prospect than Bowman.
Mm-hmm. All right, before we wrap this up, as I said, maybe three dozen plus wide receivers will get taken on draft day. We think the Patriots might go for one. Eric Scalavino on the spot. Give me a name the Patriots will select draft weekend.
Well, I don't think they're going to take one in the first three rounds, so it'll probably be on day two. I'm going to go with my pick, Adarius Bowman. I think he's going to be there. I think he's big enough. He could end up being the number two guy, if not this year, maybe the following year. He's has that Moss size, the Anquan Boldin physique that Tom mentioned. And if his hands aren't the question mark when he comes into camp, then I think he's going to be a good pick.
Tom Casale?
I'll go with Harry Douglas. To me, he's the prototypical Patriots receiver. Could be another Troy Brown in this offense.
All right, I'm going late rounds, maybe 6th, 7th. Kevin Robinson, Utah State. He's a return man, bit of a playmaker, decent speed, decent size, a guy that'll play on special teams. I say he comes in and he makes the team as a jack of all trades.
All right, putting himself out on a limb, man.
And I also say we're all going to be wrong.
Yeah, probably.
No chance any of the three of us is right. But that's going to do it for this Prospect podcast, and we're going to throw it back to Lori.
Thanks, guys. Join us again next week as the guys break down the running back position. Thanks for listening, and go Pat.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.